Well, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, and we are continuing our series on kingdom generosity. And the subtitle, or the title of this message in particular in these 2 weeks, for these 2 weeks, is sacrificial giving. Last week we looked at giving unto the Lord and God's call on that. And this week we're in Luke 21, and we are going to just look at 4 verses here, kind of a short passage of Scripture where Jesus references the widow and the 2 mites that she gives. And so Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. So if you found your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand in the reading and honor of God's Word? And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, you're gracious and kind and merciful. And I pray, God, that you would bless the preaching of your word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, you be glorified this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So this morning, I want to talk to you about sacrificial giving, kingdom generosity. And we're going to study this passage from Luke 21 this morning. And there are 5 truths I want us to try to mine out of the text here. And I'm sure there's more to be gleaned. But the main idea of the text is this, is that Jesus commands sacrificial giving. Jesus commands sacrificial giving. And so, what is this sacrificial giving? Well, the question of the text is this: when is the last time you gave until it cost you something? When is the last time that God prodded your heart in such a way that you gave to be a Lottie Moon Christmas offering, regular tithes and offerings, a benevolent need, that it actually cost you or your family to miss out on something? And now listen, I understand, and we're going to be honest with you, there's some hard truth out of the text this morning, okay? There's some hard truth for a pastor to study, because it deals with my heart long before we ever get here. But we could, all of us, as give anything at some point, say, well, it may cost me this or cost me that. Yeah, we could find something that maybe we miss out on, but reality, has it really cost you anything? Because I see, I believe that, and we'll see in a moment, that the Scripture teaches us that we're to give until it hurts. Give until it costs us something. And the lady this morning, we're going to look at this widow. And just this thought came to mind as I was studying this, that she gave very little, but she gave everything. Gave all that she had. I just want us to look at her example and what Jesus, the small glimpse we get into her giving, that it might challenge us to see. Hey, maybe many in this room, and I'm sure many are, you're giving all you can. As Christ has called you, as He has moved in your life, you've learned that discipline, you've taken that step of faith, you're walking in that life of obedience, but maybe there's some of us in this room that maybe need to be challenged a little bit. And need to look at this, go, are we really giving all that the Lord has for us to give? Well, see, if you were to back up in chapter 20, you would see that chapter 20 is full of people criticizing and trying, the religious leaders trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to make, they're asking him hard questions, trying to make him stumble and get him to say something and that would give them cause to not follow him, to dismiss him. And Jesus answers in his infinite wisdom every single time. But then it seems to give the idea, the impression here that the religious leaders are still around. They're still looking around at one another. They're still there. And then Jesus gives us this encounter. He teaches us in this moment where he sees the rich coming and they're giving. And then there's this widow coming up to give her two mites, give all that she has. And so what is it, these five truths that we want to mine out of the text, that we want to dig into from the scripture, what is it that we can learn this morning about sacrificial giving? Number one, sacrificial giving matters to God. It matters to him. He's still responding to his critics. Look at verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. So there they are in all their glitz and glory and glamour. And man, they're walking up and they're making sure folks know all that they're doing, that they're rich, that they give a lot. But your giving, the way that you give, you need to realize it does matter to God. Yes, Jesus saved us and he set us free from the bondage of slavery. And that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And there's no earning our way into heaven. There's no earning our way into favor with God. And that's true in any discipline, in any part of our life. You can't read your Bible enough to earn the favor of God. You can't be baptized enough, can't attend church enough. You can't give enough to earn your way into favor with God. But let's be clear, if Jesus really did bankrupt heaven to enrich earth that you and I might have salvation, if he really did take us from being dead people to alive people, if he really did give us an inheritance with the King of Kings, doesn't it just make sense that we give everything we have for the sake of the kingdom? And so it matters to God. And the reality is, here's what that we see this brief picture of the rich, and then we see this picture of the widow who undoubtedly is moved by her faith to give all that she has. And here's what you need to take away from this. What you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus will dictate your giving. If you really believe God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, if you really believe that God's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread, if you really believe that his grace is sufficient for you, if I believe that, that will dictate how I give. Boy, it's tough ground this morning. I know it. And I want to be really careful that wealth, the absence of or the presence of, in and of itself, by itself, is not an indication of God's blessing or God's cursing. We have to be really careful. Folks who have a lot of money can be very blessed by God. Folks who have absolutely nothing can be very blessed by God. So the absence of or the presence the presence of wealth is not in and of itself a single a dictator of whether they're in favor with God or not. And sometimes we live, whether we admit that, in America as if that is true. We look around and see our neighbor who has all the toys and shiny things and this and that and so on and so forth. And we think, man, God's really taking care of them. We see a dear saint of God that's faithful that may be struggling in some ways financially and go, man, we have this thought, what's wrong in my life? What am I doing wrong? And there may be sin, there may need to be some things we need to examine, but in and of itself, that is not the dictator of whether God's favor is on you or not, whether God's blessing is on you or not. And so sacrificial giving matters to God. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Somebody said it long before me, and we have to kind of adapt it for now, but folks have said, show me the registry on your checkbook, and I'll show you where your heart is. Now, for those of us in the room that don't carry a checkbook anymore, maybe it's your bank statement or your app or whatever it is you do to follow where you spend your money. That's tough. But the reality is, Jesus said, where your treasure is, where your treasure lies, what you invest in, it's where your heart is. It's what you love. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Ultimately, this sacrificial giving matters to God. And look, and not only as we had hoped, but look, but first they gave themselves to the Lord. And then to us by the will of God. Paul is writing, commending the believers and how they had given to him and to the mission that God had called them. And before he celebrates their gift, he said they've first given themselves to the Lord. Listen to me, dear friend. It doesn't matter how many dollars you may give. If you don't first give your heart and life to Jesus, none of that will matter. You can't buy yourself a seat in heaven. But you can surrender your heart and life to Him. You can ask Jesus, Jesus be the Lord and boss and master of my life. Save me. And in a moment, God will save you. And those of us that have made that decision, when we gave ourselves, we gave, committed ourselves to Him. And our mission and our purpose is to make sure the name of God goes far and wide. And that includes us giving to His mission, to His purpose. And so, sacrificial giving matters to God. He said, hey, look at the rich. Boy, they're really pouring their gifts in. But secondly, sacrificial giving is simple obedience. It's simple obedience. Notice verse 1 and 2 again. He looked up and saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. So this is the time they're coming by and they're giving their gifts. And notice verse 2. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. There she was. She eased her way up there amongst the crowd. Maybe she waited till most passed by. It's quite interesting. A few months back, for our reach out, by the way, thank you to so many who come and go with us and do all sorts of things and make it possible. You pray for us. Some of you, you've baked a lot of cookies over the last year, almost a year and a half now, and been able to give those gifts. Several months ago, we've knocked on approximately 400 doors since last September. So praise the Lord for that. But we knocked on a man's door. I believe Don Phillips was with me and Jonathan. Maybe it was me, you, and Don. But anyway, knocked on the door. Man came to the door. We visited with him. He said, yeah, I'm a believer. He goes to another church. And so we were there, and he had been to Jerusalem several times. He said, hey, matter of fact, I have something I want to give you. And so he came out, and he reached out his hand, and in his hand he had several of these, and it is a replica of a mite. And if you come ask me, I'll let you see it afterward. I'd never held one or seen one. But it's the smallest form of currency that they have in that civilization. And so this woman goes up with 2 of these. I mean, it's thin. It's nothing attractive about it. And I don't know how big or what it all looked like, but her gift didn't rattle around like some others. But I want you to notice what verse 2 says here. He also saw a certain poor woman putting in 2 mites. You know what's profound about that? nothing other than it's just simply stated, she went and gave. Put in what she had. And dear friends, I think sometimes we work so hard to make this hard, difficult formula about what the Lord would have us to give and how we ought to give and all these sorts of things, and we wrestle with that. And at the end of the day, giving comes down to simple obedience unto the Lord. That as a believer, as a saved individual, as a member of a local church, God has called us to simply be obedient to Him. And that is not just our giving, but it's not less than either. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel says this, "Has the Lord His great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better sacrifice than into the heat, than to the fat of rams." See, Saul had gone around God had told him, "Say, hey, go into the Amalekites, because as the Hebrews were coming out of Egypt, God's chosen people, they wanted to pass through their land." They said no. And God said, "You're going to answer for that one day, and I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth." And it came time for judgment day for them. And God raised up a king, Saul, sent him into, said, "Hey, go to the Amalekites and wipe them out, because I told them that was going to happen. Then they'll know that I'm the king. They'll know that I'm the one true God. Don't keep anything. Don't keep the spoil. None of that." And so Saul goes in and leads the people to wipe them out. But next thing you know, they kept a few rams. They kept a few sacrifices. They kept some things for themselves. And Saul kept the king, King Agag. And he took him out like one of his little trophies and pranced him to village, saying, "Hey, look what I did." As if he was going to make some big sacrifice unto the Lord. Samuel shows up and said, "Hey, why didn't you do what God told you to do?" And it's really funny, because Saul goes, "We did." Samuel's got a sense of humor. He said, "It's really funny you say that, because I hear something." He said, "I hear the animals out in the field." And then Saul begins to blame the people. That's what good leaders do, right? Blame everybody else. Samuel said, "Hold up, bub. What about this king?" And Saul began to retract. And then he says this. Said, "God delights more in your obedience than in your sacrifice." What's that got to do with giving? Sometimes we hear a challenge to give. God prods our heart to give. And we sit back and we think, "I want to do these big works for God. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want God to put me on this stage so I can do this." And the whole time God is saying, "I just want your obedience. Be obedient right where you are, right with what you have." Say, "Well, I give more to the church. I give more if I get this job or that job or this position or that position." And the whole time God is saying, "I desire obedience more than sacrifice." It's not the volume of your gift, it's the in how you give and your obedience to what God has called us to give. So sacrificial giving is simple obedience. Number three, sacrificial giving cost you something. Cost you something. Notice verse 3. So he said, so he's seen this play out in front of everybody, so now Jesus is going to make comment on it. "Truly I say to you that this poor woman, this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." You know what the meaning of that phrase is? She put in what she had to live on. She put in her grocery money. She put in her electric bill. Now listen, I hear you. Some of you are really critical saying, Brother Chris, don't put that burden on people. Listen, I'm not telling you to give your grocery money, your electric bill. I'm just telling you what the Scripture teaches. And I realize there's wisdom in managing our money, and we need to be careful. We need to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And we have bills and we have responsibilities. But I'm just telling you what the text is teaching here is that the widow, the rich folks came by, they gave out of their abundance, but the Scripture says gave out of her poverty. She gave until it hurt. It cost her something. It was hard. She denied herself of some things. Denied herself of some luxuries. I know it. Not many amens. It's tough. It's difficult. But friends, God gave until it cost Him something. His very own precious Son, He gave for me and for you. Second Corinthians 8, 2 and 3, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, notice this, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Well, they gave. Paul uses them as an example time and time again, how they gave. They gave beyond their ability. They gave until it cost them something, until it hurt. Number four. Sacrificial giving is measured. Again, verse 4, for all these out of their abundance had put in offering for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. And in reference to this, I wrote one simple sentence, and you may jot this down. Generosity is not measured by what you gave, but by what you have left. Generosity is not measured by what you gave, but by what you have left. See, God wasn't impressed that the rich folks showed up, and undoubtedly they put more in than what she could and what she did. But He says they have a lot, and they gave out of that abundance. And they did give. But she gave out of her poverty. She gave, and she gave her livelihood. She had what she had to live on. That's what sacrificial giving does. It's measured, but not by what you gave, but what you have left. There's a story in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last, so great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, tell me what you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to him, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. Now listen, I realize some of you are thinking, preacher, that ain't no way to try to grow a church. Nobody's putting that in their church growth book. Read this passage. And there's a lot that's going on here. And I want to be careful not to overstate or emphasize the wrong thing here. But we need to be obedient in what we give. And we need to think about not as much about what we give, but about what we have left. And how blessed and how much we have in this country and in this, you know, in our lives. So much. And yes, there's a lot of folks who give a lot of money, and I thank God for them. But I think about in my own life and how me and my family give, and I think, man, we have so much more we could. So, sacrificial giving is measured. Number five, sacrificial giving demands childlike faith. Again, verse 4, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings to God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood she had. See, because when you give everything, why childlike faith? When you give everything, the only net that is left to give you, the only security blanket, the only emergency fund that is left is God Himself. And it's absolute dependence on Him. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with disputes and arguments, other words from which have come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicious, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gains from which such withdraw yourselves. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and in many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You do realize people misquote that often. They say money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money. It says the love of money. It's the heart of the issue. For which some have strayed from their faith and their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's the love of money that led people away. Why is it? I can preach on a lot of different topics. But usually when the pastor begins to preach on money, folks' lips tighten up, neck gets stiff, there aren't as many compliments at the back door, few hugs that day, a lot of smile and nodding, because money is a common idol in our life at times. And when we begin to talk about our God, talk about what's close and near and dear to us, We get tough, tighten up, shrink back. So hear me, dear friend. Some of you are giving out of poverty, and you're giving your livelihood. Thank you. You're gracious and kind. Maybe some of us need to be challenged. I love this picture because it's not about the amount of the gift. It's not about the percentage per se, other than she gave all that she had. So as your pastor, I would just tell you this. Sacrificial giving is a discipline. Meaning it's not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to plan for it. You're going to have to do it intentionally. I would encourage you, students, it never gets easier to give. You think, well, I'm not making hardly anything now. Sure, it may get easier to give $10 a month or something like that when you get older, but the reality is it's an issue of the heart. So begin early, begin often. God, how is it that you'd have me to give and become disciplined in your sacrificial giving? But never desensitize to the prompting of the Spirit of God to give. Sometimes we give and we give and we give and God prods us to give more and we think, oh man, how's that going to happen? Be sensitive to the Lord. Money is a hard deal. When we try to possess it, we try to, you know, just control every bit of it, have all these sort of things. We need to be good stewards of it. But if you're not careful, money will possess you. Now, there's more to giving than just money. We talked about that last week, that your time, your talent, and your treasures, you give unto the Lord. And this month, we are taking of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And you need to know this, that I'm really intentional about not knowing what any individual in our church gives, ever. Because I've got no business knowing individually, personally, what people give. But secondly, people can't accuse me, well, you're just talking to them because they give this, or you're just doing this because... No, I'm not. I don't know what they give. So you got to find some other excuse. But be obedient in your giving unto the Lord. Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Lottie Moon was born in Virginia, December of 1840. She became very educated as a very young lady. And at 18, she was very hard to the gospel of Jesus. But through some praying of her friends and invitation, she attended a revival meeting at 18 years old, December of 1858. And lo and behold, Lord prodded her heart, and she got saved. And then, Lord stirred her heart for mission work. Her sister first went to China in 1872. Lottie was 32 years old, and for the next year, her sister would write her often, begging her to come to China. Well, Southern Baptist finally did away with a policy where it said that single women could not go. And Lottie went in 1873. Lottie was all of 4'3". She went to China, and God began to use her. And she saw that the population there that had not heard the gospel of Jesus was too great for the handful of missionaries that were there. And before long, Lottie Moon was by herself. And she began writing letters home. And she wrote this, she said, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few here. Why are Southern Baptists not giving more to this work?" And she wrote many letters many times. She served on the mission field 39 years in China. Her health failed her so bad, they finally put her on a ship to bring her home to try to get her healthy. And she died Christmas Eve at 72 years old, 4'3". She weighed 50 pounds. Because poverty, I believe it was in 1911, poverty had hit China. And she wrote the Foreign Mission Board and said, "Can you send more money to help those that are hungry and in need?" And the mission board had to write back, said, "I'm sorry, we can't. We're actually in debt." And Lottie began giving her own food and substance away. The Southern Baptists recognized for the first time the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And since then, Southern Baptists have given more than $1.5 billion through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering because of a 4'3" lady who gave her life to the mission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. She gave not out of her abundance, but out of her poverty. She said this. She said, "If I had 1,000 lifetimes, I'd give them all to China." Dear friend, it may be this morning that you need to give your heart and life to Jesus. You need to be saved. It may be this morning that God just wanted to encourage you and prod you and say, "Man, thank God for your giving." It may be that He just wanted to stir you up and say, "Hey, maybe you can do more. Maybe you can up your giving this Christmas season. You can up your giving for the 2020 year." How is it that God would have you to respond? And it may be, student, friend, that God is calling you to give your life to mission work. Maybe calling you to give 2 years to go after college. How is it that God is calling you to give sacrificially unto Him? Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I pray in these few moments, God, that we would respond to You in obedience. I pray, God, if there's anybody here who has not yet surrendered their heart and life to Jesus, God, would You save them this morning? And if that's you, just pray right where you're at. Tell God that you're a sinner. Ask forgiveness of sin. Ask Jesus to be the boss of your life. Give everything to Him. Invite Him in to be your Savior. And then in just a few moments, when we pray again, you come, take my hand, say, "Brother Chris, I ask Jesus to be my Savior today." We want to encourage you. Some of you, God's dealing with your heart. You need to respond to Him. God, I pray in these next few moments that we would respond in obedience to you. Those for salvation would take that step. Those you're calling to ministry, God, would take that step of obedience. God, those of us that you're stirring in our heart to give more financially or through our time or our talents, help us to be obedient. We pray this in Jesus' name.